The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town called Galilee in Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message, calling all kids. We got to get a little bit farther out. I don't think the steps are going to hold us all with all these poinsettias, so let's just sit right here around them, okay? All right, good morning, good morning. You knew they were here? Yep. Good morning, good morning. Hi. Good morning. All right, you know that I like to make drawings and signs for our children's sermon. I made one today. Are you ready? It says, "Mercurius." Yeah, yeah, you do. What do you think this was supposed to say? What? Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah, add an R-Y and a T-M-A-S. Is it Christmas yet? Oh, it's so close though, right? It's Christmas Eve, that's right. Oh, on the calendar, you've been counting? Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so excited. That's a wonderful way to look forward to Christmas. Yeah. Oh, you like the chocolate part of the calendar. I understand that. So every day was a different chocolate. That's really neat. Well, friends, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas in here, and we see a lot of things, but it's not quite. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. What did we just light just a moment ago? The fourth candle, that's right. And so while we're really excited about Christmas, we also have to pause and remember that we're not quite there yet. I just read one of the most beautiful stories in all of the Bible about an angel talking to Mary. And do you know the special job that God gave Mary? Mary, what do you think, Rachel? Mary was given the special job of being the mother of Jesus, that's right. That God would work through her and that she would be able to bring the Son of God into the world in a little baby like Jesus. And that's what we'll hear about tonight. But God gave Mary, through an angel, instructions on how that would happen. And it kind of sounded like something that Mary couldn't figure out. She was perplexed. That's the word that it says in there. She was scratching her head thinking, what does this mean? But you know what? God promised her that it'll be okay. And then... That's right. And then the angel said these important words, "For nothing will be impossible with God." For nothing will be impossible with God. I want you all to hear that and the grown-ups to hear that. That God can do things beyond our imagination. Is nothing is impossible with God. Most people would think that Christmas was impossible. That a baby Jesus given to us by God wouldn't be something that could happen. But the angel promised it so. And Mary believed that. And that's why everything came together. Through God's abilities even when we can't even figure them out. So as this Advent season ends, and we've been watching the candles lit every night towards Advent, I give thanks that we've been patient and ready. And now the next time we come together, and I bet for many of us that's this afternoon, we can give thanks for the fullness of God. But in the meantime, we can remember that nothing is impossible with God. Can we remember that? Let's say all that together. Nothing is impossible with God. One more time. Nothing is impossible with God. Good. Let's say our prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you for making all things possible. And thank you for Mary and the gift she brings. As Christmas is so close, help us stay focused on you. We love you, God. Amen. And maybe tonight it'll be able to finish that. All right, thank you all for coming up, friends. You can go back to your seats. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As many of you know, the Wallner family is currently living in what I call a cozy condo as we await the building of our home. And as we kind of now see the framing starting to come together and everybody says when it'll be done, my hunch is probably right in the middle of Holy Week. But we'll wait and see how that all comes together. Now, we have discovered some joys and challenges of living in such close proximity to one another in these first few months here in Winston. And we're going to always remember this time fondly. But one of the things that's happened as a result is, as my proactive wife has been way ahead of the curve, getting things put together for Christmas and gathering all their presents and getting everything in place, we have found in a cozy condo, there's no room to hide them. Now, if we put them under the tree all wrapped and ready, we have a precarious almost 2-year-old who would be able to display what everything was under the tree. So that's not an option. There's really no place to leave them, trunks of cars, nothing like that. But what we've just done is up on the top shelf of the master bedroom closet are all the presents. They're not labeled. Mom's got a secret system to figure out what belongs to who, but they're there. And they're wrapped. And they're ready. And everything is in place. And once in a while, I'll catch one of these guys coming into the room and sizing up boxes and wondering if that might be for them. The gifts are there, but the boys have no idea of the magnitude. The gifts are there, but we don't see the magnitude of what it might be. My friends, as intersection between Advent 4 and Christmas practically falls upon each other, right on top of each other on these rare Sundays where the last Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve meet. We haven't had one for a long time, but don't worry, we'll have another in 6 more years. We'll be ready, right, choir? In the midst of all of that, here in this time, I think that image is a beautiful understanding of what the fruition of Advent is all about. As we gather year after year to hear these Advent stories, we know the promise of these gifts, and we know what God gives us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. But we haven't seen it in its fullness. It's like looking at the gifts and knowing that they are there and being able to say that we will be recipients of those gifts, but not yet seeing them in their fullness. I am convinced that this is the story that Mary shares in her amazing place in this Advent journey. In this final moment of preparation, as we for 4 weeks now have been looking and longing with hope and waiting and expectation for what God has in store. And in this moment, it all comes together in fruition at the end of the first chapter of Luke. The angel comes to Mary and tells her exactly what is to happen, that she will be God's instrument in the world, that she will be the vessel that brings the Christ child, who will be born among us, God made man, so that he might be raised and strengthened in full divinity and full humanity to do all the things that he will do starting 30 years later. Mary, of course, is first perplexed by the logistical components of all of this, knowing that, as she learned in health class, this shouldn't be possible. But God reminds her that God is the one at work, and the angel proclaims that it is possible, and that bearing the child of God in her womb will not have the expected ways, but rather be the fullness of the gift. So as Mary carries this baby, as she longs to be with her relative, who she learns is also pregnant, she sees the gift present, but isn't quite aware of its fullness. Mary knows the implications of what God has done through her. The angel has proclaimed that to her, and she is confident in that as she responds, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Mary, this young girl, a teenager, who's betrothed to be married, who knows that this is going to be complicated for Joseph and his line, is willing to accept this gift, even though she knows it'll be complicated. She's willing to take on this role in the world because God has proclaimed it to her as her work in the kingdom. And countless generations since then have looked at Mary as an example for being willing to accept God's gifts in our lives, even when we aren't able to fully see them, but knowing that God works through us. And so Mary, in these words, embraces the promise that God will be with her and that God will be in her through this child that she will bear. As we go about our daily lives, we often look at the gifts that God has given us, and we aren't able to see them fully in their fruition. We know that God is present, but sometimes that's hard to explain. We know that we are blessed in this life and receive grace upon grace, but sometimes that's hard to articulate, especially when not everything in life is a blessing, and when things are broken in the world around us. But that gift is there, and that gift is present. That gift is within our sight. Because the promise of the Advent season is not about what just happened at the manger, but what we long for in the end as well, and what God has in store for us. So I want to bring back out the beautiful blessing that I was privileged to share with all those who gathered Wednesday evening at our Lessons and Carols service. Hear this portion of the blessing. May you, who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer, at his second advent, be rewarded with unending life. I'll say that again. May you who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer, at his second advent, be rewarded with unending life. The gift of the Advent season is that it's not about 4 weeks of preparation for Christmas Eve and the services that we'll have this evening. Rather, the fullness of the gift of Advent is that this longing and waiting and hope that we have is rooted in what God sent Jesus in the world to do, to be born, to live among us, to teach and preach and heal and show the signs of God in many wondrous ways beyond expectation, over and over again, reminding people that with God, nothing is impossible. And then seeing that in its fullness on those 3 days when Jesus would die and rise again, the ultimate proof that nothing is impossible with God, so that we might know the fullness of God's plan, first made known through Mary and shown in its fullness in the resurrection. And so in this Advent season, what we long and wait and hope for is not just to be ready for this evening and the beautiful carols that we sing, but to be ready for what we see in life everlasting. Not in this Advent, but in the second Advent, when, as we proclaim in our creeds, Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We will live in the promise of God, the communion of saints, and life everlasting. I've been privileged to walk with three faithful saints in their second Advent journeys so far. In my first months with you, to be with Horn and Mr. Talton and with Doc Gant, as they were near their final days among us on earth. And in each of those occasions, that last opportunity to share God's promise, Holy Communion at their bedside, and a word of forgiveness is the beauty of this Advent season. For they look at those gifts up on the shelf, and they know that they will be open soon. They know the promise of the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. And so in this world that we live in, as we are each day looking around and seeing things that just seem impossible, may we be reminded that with God's presence in our lives, in the gift of God around us, in ways that we can't easily unwrap and explain, that those gifts are with us, and that God works through us to point those gifts out to those in the world who might not have any idea, to those who are so overwhelmed with affliction or addiction or brokenness that they might not see the gifts of God anymore. May we bring those gifts and share them. And may those gifts be a reminder of the greatest gift that God has given us, first shown in a manger, then shown on the cross, and now in the kingdom of God. That second Advent for which we long for, that for which we cry, "Come thou expected Jesus," that which we hope for. The gift of Mary's willingness to hear this proclamation from the angel and to trust that God is at work even in the perplexity of the world is one that serves as an example for us. It is one that we can hold in our hearts as we conclude yet another Advent season, longing for what is to come in the next 24 hours, and longing to what is to come in time beyond measure, the kingdom of God and life everlasting, the reason we gather, the reason we share the gifts. Soon, all of those gifts that are up on the shelf will be around the tree, and Mom will unveil her secret code so the boys know what belongs to each of them. And probably faster than we expect, all those gifts will be opened and that wrapping paper will be recycled. But in the midst of that, we'll be given a glimpse. We'll be given a glimpse when we gather here this evening. And each time we come to the table, that glimpse we receive in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, made known to us in a small piece of bread and wine, a glimpse of the promise that God has made known in life everlasting. That's the gift that we long to see. That's the gift that we look up at every week. God's sacramental promise to us that nothing is impossible with God. That through Jesus Christ's birth and death and resurrection, through his command for us to remember him in this act of Holy Communion, and for our gift that we go out and share with the world, we know that nothing is impossible with God. Keep looking up at the gifts, and even when they are wrapped, know what God has in store for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.